Welcome to the podcast service of Sydney's FM 103.2. Available on the web at fm1032.com.au.
Well, the late Martin Luther King Jr. was one of America's great civil rights activists and also one of the best orators, I think, probably in history. His I Have a Dream speech was recently voted in the top three unforgettable speeches of all time by an Australian poll. But what really has been his greatest legacy? Joining us now is his niece, Dr. Alveda King. And Dr. King, it's great to have you on Open House tonight.
Well, hello. It's wonderful to join you. And I'm grateful as the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And my father was his brother, Reverend A.D. Williams King. And many people do not know that he and my dad were very close. They were civil rights leaders together, and my father was also a famous civil rights strategist who was killed in the cause the year after his brother Martin won.
Well, we know so much about Martin Luther King's life and his death, and yet your very father was actually assassinated for the civil rights cause as well.
Dad's home was bombed, just like his brother's home was bombed. Dad's church actually was bombed. He was jailed. He marched and all of that. And so we come from a family of civil rights activists. Their father before them was a civil rights leader as well, Reverend Martin Luther King Sr. So civil rights is not uncommon in our family. It's part of our heritage.
What was it like growing up in the King household?
Well, we were a household of faith. We were very strong in the things that we believed. We certainly believed in equality for all people. And for us, it was the human race. We didn't break people into various races according to skin color, but we were joined together in what my uncle often called the beloved community. And as human beings, believing that everyone had the same kinds of desires and needs and should have the same kinds of liberty and same kinds of freedom.
When your home was bombed in Alabama, were you actually at home at the time?
Yes, I was. I was 12 years old. It was in 1963. And my mother, it was the night before Mother's Day, and Mom had just set a lovely table, and she was standing at the front window, and the window began to crack. My father awakened. He was back in the back. We lived in what was a ranch home. Everything was on one floor. But he ran to the front, saw the window cracking, and picked up my mother and began to run through the house saying, get out, it's a bomb. By the time they got to the middle of the house, the whole front of the house exploded. And we found out later what the objective was Martin Luther King often stayed in our home when he came to Birmingham during those days of a very tumultuous time in Alabama. And he was supposed to be in the city that night, either at our house or at the A.G. Gaston Motel. Both our house and the motel were bombed in an effort to get to Dr. King. But he had been alerted in his heart to get out and go back home, so he was not in either location.
Wow. And what was the final act then that took your father's life?
Well, 1 year after the death of his brother in 1968, my dad walked me down the aisle. I got married the next year. And 1 week after Dad walked me down the aisle, he was found in our swimming pool. And, you know, my dad in college was a championship swimmer. But he was found in our swimming pool with no water in his lungs and a bruise on his head. And even though it was called an accidental drowning, you know, people can't drown if there's no water in their lungs. Yeah.
So, that's quite a year for you then. You lose your uncle, and then you lose your father a few months later, you know, a week after you were married.
Yeah, it was something, I tell you. So looking back, it takes a lot of love and faith and prayer to get through those experiences without hating people and to continue on in the same message of love for which your family is known all over the world. And so it's just that same love and that same faith that has carried us through.
Yeah. Ultimately, what do you think is the greatest legacy left by your uncle Martin Luther King Jr. after all of these years, 39 years, in fact, later?
Well, the message of faith and the message of love and the message of truth, and he was a preacher, and so was my dad, and so was my grandfather, and incidentally, I am too. And so faith plays a very important role in the message of who Martin Luther King Jr. I would say was, but I would say is. Because if you hear of any of his speeches, he was always talking about love, about faith, and about a commonality among human beings, a beloved community. And so that was very important.
Out of interest, how many family members of the King household, I guess, are actually involved in either civil rights or church leaders or things like that?
Almost all of us, I imagine, you could say. Martin's sister and my dad A.D.'s sister is still living. Her name is Christine King Farris, and her husband is Isaac Farris Sr. They are both church leaders in their church. Their son, Isaac, is the president of the Martin Luther King Center, and their daughter, Angela Farris Watkins, is very active in her church, and she's an educator. And then, of course, Dr. King's and Mrs. Coretta King's children. Martin has his own organization called Realize the Dream. Daughter Bernice is an attorney and a minister, and she has an organization called Be a King. Yolanda carries the message out in the theatrical world, and her brother Dexter King. And then in my family, two of my brothers, Reverend Derek King and Reverend Vernon King, are both ministers, as I am. And so it kind of, and wow, some of my children are. So that's the legacy of who we are and what we do.
Well, it is quite a legacy. We're talking to Dr. Alveda King. She is the niece of the late Martin Luther King Jr. and certainly has standing in quite a legacy of the King family. Alveda, you're a civil rights activist yourself. What issues are you drawn to particularly take a stand against?
Well, interestingly enough, I have published several books and some music projects and music CDs and DVDs. But my newest book, you can begin to look for it, will be called How Can the Dream Survive If We Murder the Children? And then at the bottom of the cover, it'll say, abortion is not a civil right. And so I guess I can intrigue you with that one line. And say that the civil right belongs to the baby, because everyone has a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so if we take the lives of our weakest and our youngest, then certainly we are infringing on somebody's civil rights. And so I'm known to say that a woman has a right to choose what she does with her body. But as one who has birthed six babies, I have two aborted babies and one miscarried. When I held my firstborn, I knew he was not my body. And so the question would always be, since a woman has a right to choose what she does with her body, where is the lawyer for the baby?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a very interesting concept, because put me wrong if I'm incorrect here, but in many ways, the civil rights movement, particularly in your country, has generally had a more left-leaning emphasis, and often it's been more civil rights for the right to choose, pro-choice rather than pro-life. You've actually taken a pro-life position. Can you explain how you actually got to that position?
Well, my uncle, Dr. King, once said that the Negro cannot win if he's willing to sacrifice the futures of his children for immediate personal comfort and safety. Dr. King spoke out against infanticide and called that genocide. And my granddad, Daddy King, was very much pro-life. And even though I made the tragic decision and I made a choice to abort one child, and a doctor made the choice for me without telling me prior to 1973 when abortion became legal, I went to the doctor to see about my body. I had a new baby after I'd been married, and I went to the doctor to see you know, it's really just for a checkup. And he says, you don't need another baby, let's see. And he did something called an involuntary DNC. Hmm. And at that time, I became a post-abortive woman, an immediate candidate for breast cancer, cervical cancer, other health-related problems with a baby who had been taken from me. And so over the years, I had to admit, even though a few years later, in 1973, I made a conscious decision to have an abortion. Abortion was then legal, and I had been divorced, and I was trying to reconcile, got pregnant, and somewhere between the baby's father and myself, we decided it was not a good time to have a baby. That was a terrible mistake, of course. I ended up having to have cervical surgery to repair a damaged cervix that happened in that abortion, in one of those abortions, breast cancer issues. So I must say the Lord was good to me in that I'm a very healthy woman today, and I've been kind of rescued from a lot of those health ills. But abortion opens up a woman. Abortion hurts a woman very, very much. There are so many women who have suffered so many different kinds of illnesses now, sterility, infertility, endometriosis, damaged cervixes, breast cancer, depression, eating disorders. The list goes on and on. And, you know, men, as a gentleman, you may have heard men say how much they regret the loss of fatherhood through that abortion process.
Yeah. And what is your alternative? What do you primarily encourage women who are considering abortions to do?
I'm so glad that you asked that question. Certainly, if a woman finds herself in those very dire circumstances, there are many programs across America, at least, and probably across the globe, that will help any woman through a pregnancy with money, with baby clothes, with milk, helping them to find jobs, helping them to find somewhere to stay. There are wonderful programs in every state in America, and certainly in every community, many communities across the globe. And I would say that the best way to avoid abortion, and your listeners will might not like this answer, because when I use it here in U.S., I say abstinence. Mm. I say, you know, just don't get pregnant, and then you don't have to worry about having a baby. And it's the funny thing about it, you know, if you don't have sex, you won't die. And when I tell people that, they say, oh, get out of here. Young people can't not have sex. Well, of course they can. Abstain. And even in the case of those very unfortunate situations, say if a woman is raped or something like that, rape is very violent. It's a terrible, terrible act. And it opens up a woman's life in a very painful way. And so why, once a woman has been raped, would you ask her to then commit another violent act on her own body, and then further endanger her own body through that abortion, to kill someone and to open herself up to much sickness and disease beyond that rape?
Dr. Alveda King, great to talk to you on Open House tonight. One last question. His I Have a Dream speech was recently voted in the top three on a poll here in Australia. Martin Luther King's greatest sermon, what do you think it was? I Have a Dream or something else that you heard?
I enjoyed all of his sermons. I would agree with most of the world that I Have a Dream is his most famous and his most popular, and yet it's one of his most publicized. But many, many of his speeches are absolutely wonderful. He preached a wonderful Christmas sermon one year, and I think it was in that sermon that he talked against infanticide, and there were just many, many messages and sermons that he preached. One of my favorite ones talks about how America has forgotten those things that are most important. And he taught a little lesson about how Jesus, if you know about Jesus at all, his parents were going on a journey. And they forgot and they left Jesus, and they didn't realize it for 3 days. Mm-hmm. And when they realized it, they were like, oh, my goodness, we've left him. And he said that America had kind of done that, kind of walked away from things that were very important, chasing after money and cars and big houses and all of that, and maybe forgot about what was important. And so I just tell people all the time, just kind of think back on things that are really invaluable, and we might want to reassess what's really important in life. And that's one of the messages that Dr. King taught.
Yeah. Alveda King, thank you so much for your time at Open House. Great to talk to you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, that's Dr. Alveda King, niece of the late Martin Luther King and a civil rights activist herself.
We hope you enjoyed this FM 103.2 podcast. To listen to more great audio, visit fm1032.com.au.